Right, turn on Smith Strand Church. Thank you, Jesus, for all the kids, you know. Brother Steve's going to enjoy that. You know, it's amazing. God loves us so much. You know, he sent his son to die for us. Today, my message is God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for you. And you can turn to Ephesians chapter 1. You know, God's number, every single person in the world has at least one purpose from God, and that is to make it to heaven. God wants everyone to make it to heaven. So Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 9. And this is going to be the New Living Translation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Says, God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance. And he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. So that right there tells us that God's purpose was that not just the Jews, not just the, you know, Israel, not just God's chosen people, but all the world will be chosen, is chosen by God to be with him. You know, that's God's purpose, that everyone gets saved. So it's like, you can tell if anybody says, well, I don't know what my purpose is. Well, you got at least one purpose, and that's to make it to heaven. So now go with me to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified, starting at verse 28, Romans 11, 28. From the standpoint of the gospel, the Jews at the present are enemies of God for your sake, which is for your benefit. But from the standpoint of God's choice of the Jews as his people, they are still loved by him for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, for he does not withdraw what he has given, nor does he change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. Just as you once were disobedient and failed to listen to God, but have now obtained mercy because of their disobedience. So Paul's telling them that because the Jews disobeyed, the door was open for the Gentiles to receive Jesus Christ. And yet, God was saying that even though that Israel disobeyed God, that didn't change his calling. Israel is still God's chosen people. And so that's the same way he is with us. Like when God calls you or gives you a purpose, even if you don't do it and disobey, it doesn't change his love for you. It doesn't change his purpose. It's still there. Now, if you go back a couple of chapters to Romans 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 10. And now this one I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Says, this son was our ancestor Isaac. When he married Rebekah, she gave birth to twins. But before they were born, before they had done anything good or bad, she received a message from God. This message shows that God chooses people according to his own purposes. He calls people, but not according to their good or bad works. She was told, your older son will serve your younger son. In the words of the scriptures, I loved Jacob, but I rejected Esau. So this shows you that God calls everyone, and he has a purpose for everyone before you were even born. And it's not based upon what you do. So he doesn't wait until you get older and grow up and decides, okay, well, you did this and this, you did this bad stuff, you did this good stuff, and so here's your purpose. And so that's important because that means that you always have a purpose. God called and planted something in you before you were even born. And so everyone has a purpose for God. And then if you will, you can go with me to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14, starting at verse 24, says, the Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? So this shows you that when God purposes something, no one can go back against it. So if God has a purpose specifically for your life, nobody can come against, people can come against it and try to get it, but nobody can take that purpose away from you. That's you, that's between you and God. And so the only person that has the power to do anything about that is you. You know, if God gives me a calling, I'm the only one that can fulfill that calling. You know, I choose to disobey or obey that calling. So let's see. It kind of shows you, like with King David and Saul, you know, Samuel anointed David, you know, so he had this calling, his purpose on his life to be king. So what does Saul do? He tries to go and kill David, but he can't because that was God's appointed, God's purpose for David. So when God calls you to do something, nobody can come against that. Nobody can stop you from fulfilling God's purpose. The only person that can is your own self. And, of course, when you step out to do that, you know, the devil's going to attack because, you know, he wants to always get us off track and he doesn't want us to do what God has called us to do. So it's always important to stay on that. And so you will be attacked by the devil just like David, you know. David was the one anointed king and so Saul tried to take him out. So he was, you know, on the run for quite a while. And then also it's important to don't be like Saul. You know, when God's called somebody else and God has a purpose on somebody else's life, you know, you want to be careful not to try to get in the way of that. You know, you don't want to be a hindrance to that person. And then also, if you can go to Acts chapter 26, and this shows you, this is Paul giving basically his life's testimony to King Agrippa. And this shows you that even if you do, you know, you don't start off doing God's purpose, you can always end up doing God's purpose and fulfilling it. And he calls you, you know, not because of real good works. So Acts chapter 26, verse 9. So this, of course, is Paul talking to King Agrippa. Says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme and be exceedingly mad against them. I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. So that verse 19 there, Paul's telling King Agrippa that he was obedient to what God called him to do. And this again goes back to God didn't call Paul because of him persecuting Christians. You know, it wasn't based upon his works. You know, that was God using the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You know, you would think he would call somebody who's righteous, you know, somebody who's living according to God's word. Yet he calls Paul, who was persecuting Christians. But when he called him, Paul chose to obey God. And he says he wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. So let's go on. It's verse 20. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me, having therefore obtained help of God. So that's important, because when you do go about doing God's purpose for your life, God will help you. You know, again, the devil's going to come and attack you, but God will come in and he will help you to accomplish that which he's called you to do. So having therefore attained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. So that just shows you that Paul's life, you know, again, and God didn't just decide to, okay, Paul's, you know, going against me, I'm going to give him a new purpose. God's purpose for Paul was there when Paul was just a baby, you know, when he was born. And so it's always encouraging to know that even if you're not living according to God's word, God's purpose is still there for you. It's just we got to make that choice to do it. And then I've got one more here for you. If you go to Isaiah chapter 46. And the other thing, too, is like, not only, if you step out to do God's purpose, the devil will attack you, so it's not necessarily easy. But on the other hand, I think life can be miserable if you're outside of God's purpose, if you're not going according to what God has called you to do, and you're not fulfilling his calling, then life can be miserable. So if you're going through struggles, you know, just see where you're at, you know, are you doing what God wants you to do? So Isaiah 46, I'm going to read this from the Amplified, starting at verse 9, 46:9. Remember carefully the former things which I did from ages past, for I am God, and there is no one else. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end and the result from the beginning, and from ancient times the things which have not yet been done, saying, My purpose will be established, and I will do all that pleases me and fulfills my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east, from a far country, the man of my purpose. Truly I have spoken. Truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Be assured, I will do it. So this is God saying that he's, you know, when God plans and purposes something, he's going to do it. So again, if he calls you, if there's a purpose on your life, and you go out to fulfill it, you know God's going to bring that to pass, just like he did with Paul. And again, nobody can stop you from doing that purpose, that specificity God has for you. Now, of course, you know, if you think God's called you to do something, you already has it, then, you know, he will show you, you know. So it's like, I just wrote down, like, you know, if you don't know what your purpose is, you know, well, you ask God, you know, and you seek him about it. And you just start day by day, you know, you just do what you know to do. And sometimes somebody will come along, you know, just like he said, he brought this man from a far country to do his purpose. Well, somebody may come along and be like, God wants you to do this. And he reveals his purpose. Or you're just going day by day, you know, following God, seeking after God. And there'll be this desire in your heart that will start to grow up. And it'll get stronger and stronger. And you know that's what God's calling you to do. So there's multiple ways, you know, and you just got to be willing to be led by the Holy Spirit, you know. So it's like, again, just day by day, just live your life. And God will clearly show you. You know, sometimes there's a major calling, you know. You know, somebody's called to go be a missionary, you know. There's always a specific calling. And then a lot of times there's like a lot of different things throughout your life that you accomplish, you know. And the other thing, too, which goes kind of along with that is like the story about the talents, you know. He gave talents to different people, gifts to different people. Where the people that don't use their talents and gifts, they just put it in the ground and bury it. Well, then somebody else will end up doing that gift and calling. So that's similar. So if you're doing God's will for your life, you may end up doing more than what you even ever thought of just because other people aren't doing what they were called to do. So then God sees you being faithful. So then he adds you, okay, I want you to do this now too. So that's all that I have for today is just, you know, follow God's purpose for your life and plan. And also, you know, again, be careful. Don't be like a Saul who was trying to take away God's purpose for David. So, you know, be focused on your own purpose, what God has called you to do. And when you're going about fulfilling the purpose that God has for your life, you won't be a hindrance to anybody else trying to fulfill their purpose that God has for them. So that is it.
Amen. That was really good. Okay. I'm going to continue on the series, Battling the Darkness. So I'm going to go over these. So the first week, we talked about battle position. So knowing who you are in Christ. If you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you don't know where you're even at in the battle. So know Jesus. And then the second one is, the second sermon was know what you're up against. And what we're up against is the devil, but he is also a defeated foe. So if you know that Jesus conquered him, you know that whatever he does against you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. So know what you're up against. And then the third one was the promise of the Father. That is being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if you do not have, if you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and in the Bible it says when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the evidence of speaking in tongues. If you've never had that, if you desire that in your heart, we can lay hands on you, or you can receive it anywhere. You just ask the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Every part of me, fill every part of me, take every part of me, and he will do that for you. Amen. And then the fourth one was exposing deception. This was last week, by discernment and the word of God. You need the word of God to expose deception that's in the world, what people are telling you, conversations with people, things you hear on the news, things that people talk about in the world, at your job, everywhere. You need to have that discernment from the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then this week, it's one of my favorite subjects, fasting. Fasting is strength during battles. And it's kind of, you know, if you think about it, fasting seems like opposite of what strength would be. But what fasting is, it strengthens your spiritual man so that your spiritual man is stronger. It's not so much about your physical body, you know, because when you're fasting, your physical body gets tired and sometimes it gets cranky, just does not like it. Amen. So what I'm going to talk about today is why should you fast? How can fasting actually strengthen you? And a little bit of practical tips on fasting, okay? All right, so fasting means, this is what fasting is. A lot of people will put fasting under a whole lot of complex things, but all it means is you voluntarily abstaining from food. That's all it is. It's nothing any more than that. You can do without things, you know, and sometimes people will call that fasting. And in the Christian world, a lot of times we do that. But technically, fasting is not eating, okay? So no one likes fasting. No one likes it. You know, like if most everybody here, if you've had any kind of medical procedure and the doctor says, hey, you need to fast from this time to that time, you're like, what? I had to do what? You know, you're like, how am I going to fit that in? If you've never fasted before, it is brutal. You know, your body will yell at you. It will scream at you. It will get hangry. If anybody knows, that's hungry and angry at the same time. That's hangry. And when you're fasting, especially at the very beginning, you know, a lot of times when you fast, and if you've never done it before, I always tell people, just start with something simple. Just fast a meal. Just do that. And start training your body. Because if it's in your heart to fast, then that means the Holy Spirit has put that into you. Because fasting is such a special thing. So if it's in your heart to fast, He's not going to tell you to do like Jesus did and go on a 40-day fast when you've never fasted before. Okay? He's going to help you through it. Amen? Okay, so to conquer this flesh, we need to put it under the subjection of our spirit. And the best way is by fasting. Okay? Because all of the battles that we go through, they're spiritual battles. And just like Paul said, we don't war against flesh and blood, but against every principality, power, ruler of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. So you need to strengthen your spirit, and even more so when you're in the hardest battles. And you do that by fasting, okay? So fasting in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it's a lot of times it'll say the Israelites humbled themselves. Or King Ahab one time, he was sick and he was a wicked king. And God was going to judge him, but he repented and he humbled himself and fasted, and God saw that. So it doesn't matter who you are. If you repent and you fast, God is right there to honor that. Amen. Okay, so what it does is it switches our focus off of ourselves and onto our Savior, okay? Because what it does is it makes our spiritual ears become tuned into what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And yes, it is hard. And sometimes your body will be like yelling at you, like trying to distract you from what the Lord is showing you. And it's harder at the beginning. But the more that you fast and the more that you get used to living a life of fasting, the more sensitive your ears will become to the Holy Spirit, and really the easier it gets. You know, so don't despair if you plan a day of fasting and you give up at lunchtime. Don't despair. That's your first day. You know, God'll work you through it. He'll get you through it, because the reward in the end is so much greater than the little trial you're going through on one meal. Amen? Okay, so what fasting does is it's like a reset. So what it does, it actually increases your hunger for God. By decreasing your hunger for food, it increases your hunger for God. So if you're going through life and you're like, man, I just don't feel like I'm hungry for God like I used to be. There is something missing in my life. Well, then take a reset. Take some time away from the normal things of this life. And fasting does that. But one thing about fasting is, like, you can't fast and then go entertain your flesh like you normally would do. You can't do that because your intention is to feed your spirit. So say you go on a full day fast, and yet you're still like watching movies and entertaining yourself with YouTube videos or whatever, you know, whatever you love your entertainment as. Some people like computer games, you know, Nintendo, or not Nintendo, but Nintendo, PlayStation, you know, any of that. But what you want to do is you want to make fasting a part of your whole life. So when you fast a meal, you replace that with reading the Bible, with listening to sermons or podcasts where people talk about God, or listening to praise and worship music. Any of that, it has to take place of that time where you would normally eat. Because your body, because it's so used to eating at certain times, it's going to be like, I want food right now at this time. And I can tell you from experience that that's the hardest time, is when your body's used to eating. So you have to defeat the flesh by walking in the spirit. You have to actually crucify your flesh. You know, that's the only way that you can't, you know, like a lot of times people say like, well, I have all these problems in my life and it must be the devil. Well, sometimes it's just the darkness of your flesh. Sometimes your flesh is walking through darkness and you have to physically bring it to the light in the spiritual. You have to physically stop doing certain things to walk in the spirit, okay? So that means turning away from certain things, fasting from certain things, but fasting for the Lord and for His purpose, amen? Okay, so one kind of, I wouldn't say it's a false doctrine, but it's just like a deception of the enemy, is that Christians who think that if they fast, God will do such and such for them. Like they're putting God under a stipulation. Fasting does not force God to do something for you. That is not the reason for fasting. If you think that by fasting that it's going to make you more holy before God, or it's going to make God love you more, or it's going to change His mind about something, that's not what fasting is about. Fasting is meant to deepen your relationship with the Lord. What it does is it pushes aside every distraction that you're going through, and it forces you to get one-on-one with the Lord. Because when you fast, you need supernatural strength. And the only strength that will help that part of your body get through that comes from the Holy Spirit. You can go to any other religion and they'll talk about how they fast so they become one with themselves, you know, or they want to get deeper into themselves, you know. None of that actually helps them, because if your spirit is dead, your spirit can't give your body life. But if your spirit is alive and you're fasting, you receive strength from the Lord, and then your spirit actually strengthens your body. Amen? Okay, so let's see. Turn to James chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy, but He giveth more grace? Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And so So fasting is humbling yourselves, okay? So verse 7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And basically, this is all about fasting. Okay, so it talks about all of these things that you're going through. When you love the world more than you love God, it welcomes in all of these wars and these fightings, and the flesh just takes control. Amen? Because it's not crucified. When you crucify your flesh, verse 9, it says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. In the Old Testament, it talks about being afflicted is when people fast, because your body is afflicted. Your body is like, no, what are you doing to me? You're taking away food, and that's my comfort, and now I'm being afflicted. That's what fasting is, okay? And when you do that, you're humbling yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he lifts you up. So fasting is humbling yourself before the Lord. When you are humbled, you are repentant, your heart becomes softened, and you receive more grace. Amen? So, let's see. I want to go on to something else now. Okay, so, in Matthew, and I don't know if I wrote this down. I think I'm just going to talk about it. Okay, so, in Matthew, there's this part where Jesus comes down from the mountain, and there's this boy, and he's a demoniac, and he's having epilepsy issues, and he's throwing himself on the ground, and his father had brought him to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't cast the devil out. And Jesus comes down, and he rebukes them, and he says, oh, ye of little faith, why? Why aren't you able to do this? How long must I suffer with you? And he rebukes the devil, and the devil flees. And then later on, the disciples ask him, why couldn't we do that? And Jesus says, you can do anything. You can say into this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Because when you believe in God, nothing is impossible with you. And then he says, but none of this goes on without prayer and fasting. Because these kind of battles, the more, like, what happens is, like, especially when somebody's manifesting and there's a demon inside of someone, you can get so stuck on the manifestation that you lose sight of what God is actually doing and what God's power actually is. You have to move past your flesh. You have to stop thinking about what you're seeing and start seeing by faith. You have to see this person delivered to get them delivered. Amen. You have to walk and live by faith. So the only way that you can take authority over any demon, anything in the name of Jesus is by faith. Amen. So the reason why I bring that out is because you can fast. You can fast anytime you want. But you cannot fast without prayer. If you fast without prayer, it's just a diet plan. It has no benefit. It'll help you physically, I'm sure, to a certain degree. But you cannot fast without prayer. And in Thessalonians, it says, pray without ceasing. Prayer should be a part of your life, whether you're fasting or not. Because prayer is just communication with the Lord at all times. So just make sure when you're fasting that you even more so keep that communication open with the Lord. Because also God is going to show you some awesome things. When you're taking that time to just spend with him, no matter what it is, and you choose to say, yes, Lord, he is going to show you some awesome things. So be ready to write it down. Amen. Okay, so when you do fast, you'll find that you usually fast during difficult seasons, when you need to hear from the Lord about what direction He wants you to go to, when you are having family issues or challenges with your children, or even when you are facing financial and health difficulties. Anytime the battle gets the hardest, you'll find that when you start fasting, that things start changing. Because what it does is it has you running to the Lord instead of you trying to figure it out. Like, I don't know what to do in this situation, so God, I'm going to fast today, and I'm just going to trust that you're going to do what you want to do, and I will listen for what you want. Amen? So fasting should be done with a purpose in mind. Whether you are just seeking to get closer to God or desperate for a breakthrough, write down the desires of your heart and God will speak to you wisdom when you set your heart to hear His voice and His will for your life. So you have to make a special point. You know, like, just fasting to fast is good because it's training your body. But after a while, you realize that I need to fast for a reason. God, this is why I'm fasting, because I want a breakthrough in this situation. And God, I don't even know what to do about it. Maybe you just need to just let it go. Maybe you just need to cast your cares upon the Lord. And you've been holding it to yourself, and fasting will help you recognize that. Okay? So another thing that's really neat is many Christians around the world, they'll fast corporately because of national issues or because they want direction for their church. So you'll hear all the time, like when we went to Times Square Church, they had asked everybody to fast the first day. And so, you know, we just, because it was in our heart to be there and listen to the Lord, we just did that because they had asked people, you know, if God lays that on your heart, this is what we're doing. So because it was a corporate fast, all of us together, God gave us like this special grace, you know, like here we are, we're doing a lot that day. Fasting is especially hard, like we were carrying a lot of luggage, had to get up extra early in the morning. You know, we're walking and walking and walking and walking and walking. So we're doing a lot of exertive stuff just to get there. But it was awesome. I mean, God just supernaturally held us that whole day, and only He could have done that. You know, one thing that's really important about fasting is you have to really, really be led by the Spirit. You know, when Jesus went into the wilderness, He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So you do not fast when you're not led by the Spirit to fast, okay? Listen to the Holy Spirit, especially if it's going to be something long-term. You know, if you're going to do anything past 3 days and you're going to do like a 7 or a 14 or a 21, whatever it is, you need the grace of God to help you through that. You absolutely do. And another thing is, and I heard this from, I don't know if anybody knows who Vlad Suvcek or Savcek is, but he's, I think he's Yugoslavian, and he's over here in the United States. He's been a minister for many years. But he's young, like my age. So he talks about, you know, in their church, they have to let people know, children, seniors, people with medical disabilities, diabetics, you know, sometimes you can get so gung-ho about fasting that you have to really think about the limitations of your body, and you have to listen to the Holy Spirit, okay? Because God knows your body better than you do. He knows what you can handle physically. You know, like Jesus, when He went to the desert, He was in His 30s. He was a strong man, okay? He was healthy. So don't ever compare yourself with anyone in the Bible thinking that you can do what this person did, you know, just because. Don't do that. You know, there's a part in the Bible where Elijah, he goes for 40 days without eating or drinking. And the reason why he does is because he had two meals from heaven. An angel came down and made him two meals of heavenly food. You know, and I can't imagine what heavenly food is like, but it's got to be pretty awesome if it carries you for over a month, you know? Just think about that. So, once again, be led by the Spirit, okay? If you choose to fast, be led by the Spirit. So, I thought this was really cool, and I wanted to share the story. So, the pilgrims, you know, when they came to the Americas, you know, it was rough, and they lost a lot of people, but then they finally got into, they knew what to plant. The Indians showed them what to plant and how to plant it. They knew how to fish, and it was, things were going good. But then suddenly a drought happened. And droughts affect entire countries. And so at that time, the drought was affecting the whole nation. It wasn't just affecting the pilgrims. It was affecting the Indians. Everybody was going through a drought. And they had gone through that so long, and it was affecting the people for so long. Finally, the governor was like, okay, we need to fast and pray. And so they did. And after they fasted and prayed, as a whole people, God miraculously sent rain. And not only was it awesome that he did that for them, but then it was a testimony to the Indians that this is what our God does. You know, we came over here because we wanted to worship the Lord freely. And this is what he does for us. Amen? Because the Indians, they had tried, you know, they try everything. Because they're pagans. They tried everything they could think of. You know, you hear about Indians doing rain dances. They were doing everything and it wasn't working. But God came through. Okay, so turn to Matthew chapter 6. This is really important, okay? To think about for fasting in general. So chapter 6, verse 16, this is Jesus talking. He says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." So this is really, really important because God, it's not about the works that make yourself look holy to others. It's about you turning yourself to the Lord. You making a point that this is my relationship that I want with the Lord, and God looks at your heart. You know, you don't have to tell the whole world, I'm fasting this whole week. So look how important I am. Look how holy I am. No, that is not what it's about. Okay, so you have to do away with that thinking. As much as possible, do not even tell anyone you're going on a fast. You know, when you're going on a corporate fast, like if everybody in the church did a fast at once, obviously we'd all know. But if somebody messed up or somebody couldn't fast, no judgment should be placed on someone who could not. Corporate fasts are meant to be done out of decisions led by the Holy Spirit of the Lord on your heart. Amen? Okay. All right. So, I already did that. Give me just a second. Okay. So, when you're fasting, it's really neat because your body, well, see, even though you don't like the part where you're hangry and you don't like all that feeling that happens when you're not eating, and you know, if anybody's fast and you get like headaches and it's like, oh, I don't know if I can get through this. Well, what's happening is your body is getting rid of toxins. So your body is reacting to the fast. Once you get through that, you'll notice that your body actually starts feeling better. And almost everyone who does a long fast, they'll tell you that after the third day, when your body's got rid of all the toxins that it needed to get rid of, after that, your body goes into this supernatural mode where where hunger is different. It's like you get past all that and you can go as long as God wants you to go at that point. So keep that in mind. It's going to be hard, you know, and if you can't get past the 3 days, don't worry about it. Do what the Lord leads. It's not about condemnation. It's about direction. It's about relationship. Amen? Okay. And then another thing, which I thought this was good to point out, when people have physically demanding jobs, do be careful fasting. You know, like Michael Kestner is not here today, but if he was here, I would have pointed him out if you don't know him. But he drives a truck all the time, and that's many, many hours that he's on the road, and he has to stay alert when he's driving. And so for him, fasting while he's driving is not the best idea, because he has to be concerned with people, other people on the road. You know, and all of you guys, almost all the guys in here have some kind of physical labor that you have to do, whether it be with your bodies or with your minds. It's a lot of physical labor. So whatever you're doing, you have to listen to the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of times where you can, even physically doing things, you can still fast. You just have to think about it. You know, like, you shouldn't go to the gym and work out for an hour while you're fasting. These are just practical tips, okay? And then I'm going to tell you about the different kinds of fastings, okay? So you can do partial fasting, but before I go into that, full fasting, absolute fasting, where you don't drink any water or eat any food, that is only when it's in a super crisis thing. Like when Queen Esther had to go before the king, and she told all the people, fast for 3 days, don't eat or drink, because this is a national crisis. This is life or death. You know, so that's the only time that you do an absolute fast, but you don't go any longer than that, because by the third day, without any water, your body will die. It will start to die. So you have to think about these kind of things. Like, yes, you can get gung-ho and think you're going to fast and do this, but listen to the Holy Spirit, okay? Okay, so the second one is partial fasting. And this is really nice for starting out, and especially for those with any kind of medical conditions. This is called intermittent fasting. A lot of you will hear about this. Some of it's become like a fad with the media and people like that, but it's actually really good for your body. So that's why it's become more of a diet plan, more so than fasting, but it really is fasting. Because what you're doing is you're skipping a certain meal, either the first meal or the last meal, and you're choosing to spend that time with the Lord on any day. And you can even, there's in Daniel, and I think it's chapter 10, you know, Daniel did this thing where he abstained from sweets and meats and wine, and he didn't anoint himself, meaning he didn't make himself like all pretty and everything. He was basically in mourning, but he was listening to the Lord because he was asking the Lord a question. So sometimes, you know, they call this a Daniel fast, and a lot of people will do this at the beginning of the year. A lot of churches will. And just in practicality, you know, basically it takes out a lot of the things that we love in life, sweets and meats, you know. So like if you take those out, you know, you can get tired of fruits and vegetables after the first day. So it really is a sacrifice. It's just a good way to break into fasting, okay? And then you can also choose to give up a certain type of food. That is a real sacrifice for you, especially those who can't fast fully, you know, for any medical reasons. Remember that the point is to crucify the flesh. You shouldn't give up a food that you don't eat or don't like. Okay, so like, I'm going to use Margie as an example because she can't have chocolate. She's allergic to chocolate, so she can't really give up chocolate because that's not really a sacrifice, okay? So that's just a practical tip. So, and then last of all, if you do choose to fast, and maybe you haven't done it before, or you just haven't done it in a long time, Michael and I can give you some more practical tips. We can give you scriptures. We can give you resources. We read and listen to a lot of different things about fasting because it helps us grow in the Lord, you know, because we need help. You know, we need help. But also, you really need a prayer partner. You know, like I find that when I'm fasting, it really, really helps to have Michael fasting with me because we're in the same household. So if we're both fasting, it's a lot easier to handle certain things. But like, you know, you have like Kiana who has 4 kids, you know, for her fasting, it would be way more of a challenge than it would even be for me because she has 4 kids that she has to feed and she has to fix their food. And so she doesn't have someone right there with her to help her fast, you know? So like her fasting a little bit is a lot in God's eyes because it's more of a sacrifice for her than it is for us, you know? So don't be discouraged, you know, don't compare yourselves with other people, you know, don't think that, well, I have to do it this way or I have to do it that way. Do what the Lord leads in your life. Because fasting is meant to get your body under the subjection of your spirit. And the reason why that's so important is because when you're sick and your body is yelling at you because it's not feeling well, you need to be able to tell your body, body, you come under the subjection of my spirit. So whether you're, when you're fasting, you're doing that because you're fasting. But when you're sick, you need to do that and speak to your body. Because your body's going to listen to you when you put it under the subjection of your spirit. But if your body thinks that you're going to listen to it more than your spirit, then your body's going to take control. And your flesh won't be crucified. Your body's going to be like, well, I can get you to do whatever I want you to do. You know, because your this flesh body is just, you know, it's going to die off, you know, and eventually as you get older, it's going to wear away, you know? So like you can't, when you get older, you know, like say Aunt Linda, you know, she's 82, you know, for her, it's different than it is for me. You know, fasting is different for me than it is for her because she doesn't really need to, you know, she's already on her way to heaven anytime now. So that really doesn't matter for her. She's already getting there, you know, so don't judge and think that, well, this person and that person and this situation, every person is different, you know, look at your heart, you know, what has God laid on your heart? Fasting is drawing you closer to the Lord. Amen. Okay. That's all I have today. It's kind of short, but I thought about reading all the fasting scriptures, but it would have been really, really long. Yes. Wow. Yeah. There is. Yes, and it helps. It actually helps you over time. Your body may not like, when you're restricting anything, your body's like, doesn't like that. But over time, and that's where you really have to just be patient and let it work. You know, just let it work. Let's see, so one more thing and then I'll be done. So I had gone through this stage where I was working at the diner and it's, because my job was so physically demanding, if I would fast, I mean, it was really, really rough. I mean, I can't, because not only am I cooking food for everybody, I'm smelling food, but I am working nonstop. Like sometimes I would be on my feet for 10 hours a day. There were a lot of times I couldn't even get a bathroom break for 8 hours. I mean, it would get that busy, which is not healthy, by the way. But when you're busy, you just do what you gotta do. So when I stopped working at the diner, I was like, okay, I really, the desire of my heart is to fast, but I don't even know how to get started. And so I just listened to the Lord, and he led me in how to just get started in little things. And because I listened to the little things, really helped me learn how to get my body under the subjection of my spirit. Amen. So that's just a one more practical tip. Thank you, Kiana. That was nice. Yes. Miss Penny? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Definitely. And all of those things, like, they're nutritious for your body. It's not like you're gonna die of hunger. I mean, it's just that your body is used to having certain things. So, but the Daniel fast is actually really, really good for you. Jenison and Franklin, they do a liquid fast. They do a Daniel fast, but what they do in their church is certain people can't do a Daniel fast, so they do certain things. But he goes on a liquid fast, so he'll do like chicken broth and bone broth and those kind of things, and coffee and tea, anything without sugar in it for 21 days. Those are like that's hard, but if it's in your heart, it has to be led by the Holy Spirit. You can't go from not fasting to doing that. But the Daniel fast is a really good way to start training your body to get into fasting, okay? Amen. Okay, that's it. Anybody else have anything? That was really good. Okay. And a lot of the elders in here have fasted for years and know how to fast. So for all you younger people, the elders can tell you what they've done and what's worked and what hasn't worked and how God has done miracles in their lives. They've seen him work in their lives. So listen to the elders, okay? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it does. It does change your life. And it's the mindset that it changes. It's like, is this really important to me? Is God more important to me than even what I'm eating? That's what needs to be more important to you than anything else on this world. Crucifying your flesh, that word crucify, that's not meant to be you just hang a picture on a wall. That means you have to die to yourself. That is rough. But when it happens, Jesus was crucified on the cross, and then he brought life. When you crucify your flesh, you're bringing life into your body, into your spirit, into your body. Amen. Okay. All right, let's stand and we'll pray and dismiss. And if you need prayer, we are always here for you. All of us, we can all lay hands on, pray for you, whatever you need. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for this day, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are training us, God. You are teaching us. You are ministering to us by your Holy Spirit, and you are putting in us a deep hunger, thirst, and desire for righteousness. God, we thank you that you are revealing your purpose to us. Each one of us, God, you have called us to a certain thing, God, that you want us to do. So help us, Lord, to be willing and obedient to do that purpose, God. Thank you for showing us, Lord, what you want us to do, even today, this week, God, in our jobs, in our schools. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for healing us, God. Each one of us, we are healed by Jesus' stripes. We are made whole from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. Amen.